ask them a clarifying question. I hope that answered the question.
Yes, very helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. Cool.
Hi, Karen. Alisa P. in Connecticut. Thanks so much for this workshop. The I statements are a huge piece of recovery for me and were definitely something that were new to me when I came into CODA. And I'm grateful to those who have kind of walked before me that explained it in such a gentle and beautiful way that, I was able to hear it and really understand and start using it in my life. I heard you kind of give an answer that partially answered my question to, the woman 2 times ago about, you know, using that serenity prayer, what can and can't I control and all of that. I wondered if you knew anything about, the introduction of the I statements in the CODA program, like how that came about, how long have we had that in the program? And, because there's another fellowship I go to where I would love to introduce this in some type of way. And it's definitely an area where I want my CODA program in this other program and it's not there. So it's partial acceptance and then partial, you know, what could I do to possibly make a change that would serve everyone, including myself. So love to hear your thoughts on that if you could.
Thanks, Lisa. I don't actually know. When I did the research for this workshop 5 years ago, oh my God, 5 years ago, I couldn't actually find much in CODA literature about I statement beyond the 10 card. There's a pamphlet about crosstalk. There's another pamphlet about pamphlet or booklet about boundaries and one about communicating in recovery. And each of them, like, maybe mention an I statement in passing. But there's not a lot about that. And so I thought, you know, I can start the ball rolling and see what happens. Feel free to send me an email and we can talk about whatever for your other program too. See what can be modified and borrowed. I think that's the time for this group discussion moment, but we will have more, so I'll move on. So, boundaries. What? I thought this was about I statements. Yes, but it's also about boundaries. I have figured out that boundaries have 4 primary categories. There's the external type of boundaries, and, well, two, categories, external and internal, and then how I can respond to either of those. So my external boundaries are a perimeter I create around myself. I don't create a perimeter around you, whoever you are, whether you're a person, a group, or a larger entity, anything. It's my boundaries are around me. And boundaries can be physical, they can be mental, they can be emotional, and they can be spiritual. Upon further reflection, they can probably also be financial and other things. I'm not exactly sure. And on the flip side, there's internal boundaries, which is me honoring my internal warning signs. And again, those can be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, possibly financial, and possibly something I haven't thought of yet. The way to respond to someone getting close to or crossing my external boundaries, I can walk away or use some kind of self-defense technique. I can practice loving detachment. I can use prayer and meditation. And the specific way I respond is, you know, it's dictated by the specific situation. For my internal boundaries, I can respond to myself with self-care, such as nutrition, movement, rest, I can respond to not honoring my own self by using outreach, contacting my sponsor, contacting program friends, sharing in meetings, that kind of thing. And again, prayer and meditation. There's, I haven't found anything yet where prayer and meditation doesn't help, at least a little. So with that, we have another 5 to 10 minutes to talk. I'm going to set my timer so I can help us stay on track. So, hands up when you're ready. If there are no questions or comments, I can move on.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to raise my virtual hand.
Okay.
But I have a question about the prayer. I'm still in step 4 and I really, I don't have a concrete concept of higher power or God. My question is, I have noticed that no matter how much I pray, my bad situation that just doesn't disappear magically. So why should I pray then if it doesn't give me the result I want? What is the use of the prayer?
For me, prayer is about restoring my sanity, not about changing something outside of myself. Sometimes things outside of myself will change by seemingly miraculous changes. But that's not why I pray. I pray, back to that serenity prayer. I pray for the serenity. I pray for the courage. I pray for the wisdom. Step two is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So my prayer for that is something like, help me believe. step three is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. God, help me let this go. Step seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. So I do that. Step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So it's, God, help me know what you want me to do. Please make it clear. I am dense. I am not getting it. I'm frustrated because I'm not getting it. Please help me understand. And then when I say that, I've gotten to a point where I know without any doubt at all, when I pray, my higher power is always listening, is never annoyed, never irritated, never too busy. It doesn't mean the answer is I get what I asked for exactly the way I asked for it. But once I say the prayer, I know that whatever occurs to me next, like if I say, what should I do here? And I hear, you should forgive them. Well, then that's the answer. If I hear, you should never talk to them again, then that's the answer. And it might change later. I might get a different answer at another time. But for now, that's the answer I get. And I have to have to trust it, because if I don't trust it, I'm not working the program. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I'm not an atheist, but I'm an agnostic. I'm still not able to make up my mind regarding a God or a higher power. So how does the prayer work for an agnostic person? Like, there is a group which helps me, which helps for an atheist, and people who believe in God, they are also, they can go and pray. But someone like me who doesn't know whether there is a God or not and still finding it out, what should I do? How should I work the program? like, whom should I pray to?
Yeah. Of course, I can't, like, tell you who to pray to or what to pray to. But for myself, I'm not exactly consistent. Sometimes I'll pray to an actual deity. Sometimes I'll pray to a male and female pair of deities. Sometimes I'll pray to my guardian angel or my future self. Or sometimes I'll ask my inner child, because my inner child has a lot of wisdom. Sometimes I'll meditate on things like the process of evolution and gravity. It doesn't exactly matter to me what the specifics of what the higher power is. It's something that existed before me, will exist without me, and is bigger than what I can do. And that's, if it meets those three criteria, before me, bigger than me, and will be hereafter, to me that's sufficient to at least get me out of myself for the moment.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Oh, good. I really like making sense.
Sorry, could I just ask another question? I've got difficulties.
Sure. I realized earlier that I went out of turn because I can't see everybody on the screen. So I'm trusting the host and co-host and or the participants to...
Emily is with a hand raised right now.
Okay, great.
Hi, my name is Emily, codependent. I just came in on the very last slide, unfortunately, but the question that the last speaker proposed, it made me, I'm new to CODA, I'm codependent, I'm new to CODA, and I'm struggling, and this is probably off topic, but I'm this idea of, I guess it's step three, really, of trusting. Or even step two, that trusting that a higher power can restore me to sanity. And I don't know that I'm asking a question, but just, I guess, to hear some feedback from someone who has more experience, more recovery. Is it just like, it's almost, it seems to me it's almost letting go of my ego, like that things have to be a certain way, because I'm hearing again and again, I can't control people, places, outcomes. And I guess it's just like letting go of my way and just hoping that, cause I have a hard time thinking that things will be like, it's for the best, because maybe for the best isn't what I will like. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm really saying, but it's just such a hard, it's a hard concept. I don't know if you have any, or anyone with more recovery can just throw out some perspective on that. And is the PowerPoint going to be posted anywhere? I'm really curious to just read through it.
It is shareable. If it's not going to be posted somewhere, I'm happy to email it out. Before you got in here, I put my email information in the chat, so I'll do it again at the end. Okay. I'm just not going to go back and forth, but if someone else wants to copy and paste it into the chat again, I'm happy with that too.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you may or may not notice that my email address is actually at the bottom of every single slide. It's in gray. It's light, but it's there. And I think the answer to your question, I think, more will be revealed when we get to the worksheet in a few minutes. And
Karen, did you want to take one more question?
We've got one more minute for this section, so sure, if it's quick, or we can answer it next time.
Michelle Z, did you have something quick?
I'm not sure if it'll be, I mean, I hope it'll be quick, but it's 1 minute for you to answer me too, right? The whole thing is 1 minute. Okay. I guess next time after, it might be 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay, we can move on. Thanks. Things I find useful, slogans and affirmations. So some of my favorites are halt. Am I too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or ill, or in pain, or intoxicated, or forgot my meds, or whatever it is? Basically, is there something that's emotional or physical that's getting in my way of being sane right now? And if that's true, I need to fix that first. Next one. Am I nuts not using the steps? I'm finding myself mired in insanity. It's probably because I'm not working the program. Wait, why am I talking? And that's a great one, especially around I statements, because it's so easy to jump into offering free advice. Free advice is not free. It costs relationships. It's not my circus. They're not my monkeys. So I need to tend to my monkeys and my circus, and that's that. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And that's the beginning of a section in, I believe, the AA book from way back in the beginning. And I've currently actually rephrased it to acceptance is the answer to my insanity today. Because the problems don't necessarily go away, but if I'm sane, I can deal with them much better. I practice putting down the magnifying glass and picking up the mirror. So it's not about figuring out what's wrong with you. It's about figuring out what's my part and or what's the next right thing for me to do for myself. I keep my side of the street clean. My self-care is not selfish. It's necessary. And I choose to communicate with others in ways that are safe for me and respectful of them. And that's straight from the Code of Promises. So, now another 5 to 10 minutes. What are some of your favorites?
We have Laura's hand up.
And we can also answer the question that came up at the end of the last one.
Would she like to go first because she's been waiting?
Yeah, let's do that first and see what comes up.
I'm happy to wait my turn.
Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Sorry. Hi, Michelle. I'm new. I'm a codependent, not new to being one, but new to being here. I'm in another program that deals with relationships. So there's lots of crossover, but, it's back to the, part of boundaries, learning where, I have to set boundaries for myself. And it's certain behavior that other people are doing. So I guess my question is, I'm not supposed to focus on what you're doing. I'm supposed to keep the focus on me, right? But at the same time, what behavior another person is doing, if it's harming me, not physically, but emotionally, I feel that I need to go like no contact with them or just end that relationship if it's to that extreme. So I'm kind of getting that confused message where it's supposed to be like when you pray to, you know, your higher power, and your higher power is supposed to help you make the right next step, and nothing's really in our control. It's, you know, let go and let God and stuff. I see that, but then I get confused in how to apply it when I'm trying to do a boundary, because am I being too much in my self-will?
Muted myself. That's a good question. It's the kind of thing that takes a lot of practice, or it took me a lot of practice to gain some discernment about which thing is which. If someone is being unsafe to me, whether it's physical or emotional or really anything else, I have to deal with the moment in the moment. So I've been in a relationship where I was the target of physical abuse. I learned, and that started early on, I learned a lot of codependent techniques to manage my safety because they were so out of safety. So the codependency, like all of our patterns and characteristics, in my humble opinion, are tools that we learned to deal with something that was really unsafe. The thing is, the problem shows up when we keep using those tools in ways that don't work with situations that they're not meant for. So let's say as a kid, I learned how to use a hammer, but now I'm trying to, you know, build a dollhouse or a house of cards. I don't use a hammer for that. It's a different thing, but if we keep applying the same old tools to the new problems, we keep getting broken answers, if that makes sense. So if it's somebody's being unsafe to me, I need to do whatever I have to do to survive the moment. And then as soon as I'm in a survivable place, that's when I start using the tools. Like, how do I avoid getting in that situation again? Was there anything I did that invited that? And that's not the same as victim shaming. But do I tend to fall in love with abusers? That's a thing. And it's not a great thing. So that's okay. What do I do to strengthen myself, to strengthen my recovery, to meet my own needs so that I am no longer attracted to and no longer attracted by? Like, it's a push-pull relationship. So if I can just step away from the whole type of thing, then I don't have that problem so much anymore. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, it does. I guess it would require just more of a heightened skill set of me practicing it. Perhaps maybe I'll be jumping the gun, maybe by ending a friendship or something like that too soon, and not giving enough forgiveness, or maybe I'll end up doing too much forgiveness and getting walked all over trying to find my balance with a boundary. But I think I totally get what you're saying, and I think it's just going to take a little more time for me to do it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I think the worksheet tonight will help. It's nighttime for me. I don't know if it's nighttime for everyone.
Hi, are you ready for me?
I'm ready for you.
Okay, thank you. I'm Laura, codependent. I wanted to share that one of the, in a way, slogans I've been struggling with lately is that saying that resentment is like drinking a poison and waiting for your enemies to die. And I've been, for all sorts of reasons, been really feeling that lately. I want to add that the previous card, I thought, oh my God, I really needed to see this card tonight, because it's a reminder that when you feel resentment or wish something would change or someone would change or you're feeling frustrated, that's a very external, feeling that something else should shift for you. But to remember that a feeling like that is a choice. I have control over my resentment, and I can choose, like you said, to meditate, to instead walk away, to separate, to create a boundary, to do some self-care. And I thank you for putting up that card tonight. I thank you for this card. They go together well, and I appreciate it. So I guess mine is more of a comment rather than a question. This is a really good talk, so thank you.
Thank you. Shall we move on? I say, why not? Are we there already? We are. Don't worry. The questions will be bigger on the screen. This is what the whole page looks like when you print it. I statement prep worksheet. The worksheet helps me, and hopefully it will help you, understand my own thoughts, feelings, patterns, needs, and desires. Knowing myself can help me get ready to deal with any person, situation, belief, institution, etc. By identifying what's going on inside myself, I gain wisdom about what to do next. Change something, accept what is, or both. When it's all said and done, it can be read as a paragraph, and it goes like this. When somebody does or says something, I feel a feeling, and I think a thought because of a pattern and because of a belief. I would prefer that something else happens. However, I accept that I am powerless over that person or that situation. To protect myself, I can... What is it? To protect myself, I can set a boundary. To care for myself, I will have an intended follow-through, set an intention. Higher power, please help me too. And then I'll seek support by reaching out to three resources. Are you ready to write? We're going to go by, we're going to do all 12 of these lines. And I'll show the slide, talk about it, and then give everyone 30 seconds to write, which tends to be enough for most folks. And if you need more time to catch up, it's okay. I recommend for the exercise, pick one scenario to process. Try not to overthink it. The truth will surface as we relax and allow it. We'll have 30 seconds to complete each line. Brevity is useful here. Just the facts, ma'am. And when the worksheet is complete, we'll have time for some of us to share what we wrote. And don't worry, time has also been set aside for Q&A at the end. So, the first line, the first slide is when. So here we name a person, a situation, a belief, or an institution, or something similar. I have a few examples. Feel free to not use my examples. Did not prepare my timer ahead. So I think that's been 30 seconds. The next one is does or says. The guidelines here are to report only what can be seen or heard, like a scientist might. Keep the focus narrow for now and do not include what he or she or it or they feel or think or believe, because how would you know? Go ahead and take 30 seconds for that. Okay, next slide. When this happens, I feel. And here are some feelings. Please feel free to ignore what I wrote. They're only examples, not rules. Some examples are angry, hurt, jealous, irritable, sensitive, afraid, helpless, hopeless, overwhelmed, incompetent, sad, numb, ashamed, exhausted, apathetic, and the list goes on. 30 seconds starts now. Next, I think this is the story that causes or explains the feelings. And it would sound something like so-and-so should, do something, so-and-so shouldn't do something. They always, or they never, or someone needs to something. Take your 30 seconds now. Okay. Number five. Because, and this is the need or the desire that creates that story and that feeling. Some examples, like I need safety or security. I want to be able to trust or be trusted. Respect, support, freedom, peace, autonomy, authenticity, self-expression, connection, importance, acceptance, sex, love. 30 seconds starts now. Number six, we're almost halfway done. And because, and here's where a personal pattern or characteristic, all 55 patterns of codependency can be found at coda.org. But some examples are because I lack self-awareness, or I lack empathy, or I mask my pain, or I seek approval, or I hide mistakes, I lie to look good, compromise my integrity, I'm hypervigilant, self-silence or filter, caretaking and taking over, giving unrequested advice, blaming and shaming, criticizing, judging, seeking distraction, maintaining distance, indirect or evasive communication, declining to use the recovery tools. 30 seconds starts now. Okay. Number seven, I would prefer that. This is a preferred alternative. The guidelines suggested here are to be clear, reasonable, and realistic. Keep the focus narrow for now. And this is a hopeful request, not a demand. 30 seconds starts now. Okay. Number eight. However, I accept I'm powerless over person, a situation, a belief, an institution, etc. Some examples are copy line one. Copy any line two through six, something from the past or literally the past. Powerless over my disease of codependency. Or powerless over everything except my choice right now. Take 30 seconds, please. And now we're on to number 9. To protect myself, I can, and here's where you write out a boundary or a potential response. Some of them are maintain self-care, communicate clearly, avoid harmful people or situations, which is not the same as avoiding feelings, trust my gut and heed the warning signs. I can pray for guidance, support myself, come prepared. I can lovingly detach. 30 seconds starts now. Number 10, to care for myself, I will. And here's my intended follow through. Some examples might be prioritize self-care, make outreach calls, pray and meditate, say affirmations, use literature and recordings, practice acceptance, attend meetings, keep learning and growing, be of service, or play and have fun, among other things. 30 seconds starts now. Okay. Number 11, higher power. And I always like to add the word please, just because it makes me feel right size. Prayer and meditation. Some examples are the Serenity Prayer, the Coda Third Step Prayer, the Coda Recovery Prayer, the Coda Making Choices Prayer, a prayer from a personal spiritual practice, an improvised prayer in the moment, or simply help, or I'm listening. 30 seconds starts now. Okay. Last line. I'll seek support by reaching out to blank, blank, and blank. So a sponsor, a meeting, a CODA fellow, etc. Suggesting guidelines for people to reach out to are they're trustworthy, they're available, they're compatible with you for communication style, and similar enough worldview. They're a positive influence, and they're not invested in the outcome. Take 30 seconds, please. Okay, that's the whole thing. So now we've got time for a number of volunteers to read their I statements, if you would like to. I'm asking that please read only what you've written. The backstory should probably be included in the workshop or in the worksheet just the way it is. So additional explanation probably isn't as necessary as it feels like it might be.
We've got Judy to Australia.
Okay, great. Judy, too.
I, when my dad says he's not going to talk to me for half a year, I feel ashamed and sad. I think he needs to do therapy. He has no communication skills because I need connection and because I seek approval. I would prefer that he understands that it hurts. However, I'm accepting that I'm powerless over my dad. To protect myself, I can lovingly detach and try to communicate more clearly. To care for myself, I will play and have fun. Higher power, please, I'm listening. I'll seek support by reaching out to 3 people in CODA or other fellowships. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sharon?
Great.
Hi, I'm Sharon, codependent. When my ex-partner gave me the silent treatment or ignored me, I felt worthless and hurt. They never made me feel valued. Because I need to feel safety and security within my relationships, I need to feel connection and love. And because I compromise my integrity, blame myself, and seek approval, I would prefer that in the future I find an equal partner and not compromise my integrity or my needs for someone else. However, I accept that I am powerless over the past and my codependency. To protect myself, I can avoid harmful people and situations, communicate clearly, and lovingly detach from people who are not satisfying my needs or making me feel safe. To care for myself, I will continue to attend meetings and work the program in an attempt to better myself and find better relationships in the future. Higher power, I am listening. I haven't discovered who or what you are yet, but this is part of my growth story. I seek support by reaching out to my friend, my brother, and Codependence Anonymous. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
And we have Emily T.
Great.
Okay. When my mom gives me unsolicited advice, I feel angry and think she shouldn't do it because I need autonomy. And because I criticize and judge, I would prefer that she does not offer unsolicited advice. However, I accept I'm powerless over everything except my choice right now. To protect myself, I can communicate my request for her not to give me unsolicited advice clearly and lovingly detach. To care for myself, I will practice acceptance. Higher power, please. I will do serenity prayer. I'll seek support by reaching out to my sponsor, going to a meeting, and other fellow Buddha members, and doing the CODA. Oh, no, that's it. That's it. Can I ask a quick question about this? Or is this just, or afterwards maybe?
Yeah, let's come back to
okay.
Questions.
No problem. Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Jesse C.
Hi, yes. When Mr. G shared that he was not a robot that I can turn on for my own needs, I felt helpless, overwhelmed, ashamed, annoyed, surprised, and hurt. I think Mr. G should be aware of my needs, not expect me to meet all of his needs all the time, because I want authenticity, self-expression, acceptance, and respect, because I compromise integrity, mask pain, and seek distraction. I would prefer that we sit down and write or share one want we would like of one another to fulfill at times. However, I am powerless over my inability to commit and fear of letting down my guard. To protect myself, I can communicate clearly, trust my gut, and maintain self-care. To take care for myself, I will pray, meditate, use literature and recordings and outreach. Higher power, please give me wisdom, acceptance, and love. Amen. I'll seek support by reaching out to my sponsor, a fellow, and my sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
And right now, that's all we have for hands.
Okay, great. Let's do some questions. I know Emily T had a question.
Yeah, my question was about, and I'm probably overthinking this because I do that, but the part where it says when whoever does or says, I feel X, I think X, because X and because, or wait, it's the pattern part, like putting the, let's see. My example was when my mom gives me unsolicited advice, I feel angry and I think she shouldn't do it because I need autonomy. And because that's when the pattern came in, I believe. Mm-hmm. Because I'm, so first I say what I need and then connect that to my pattern. And so I'm trying to hold the two things, like my need and my codependent, like I guess that putting those two things together is kind of confusing to me, but I'm probably overthinking it. I don't know if that was, I even expressed myself clearly. It's almost midnight here too. So
I think I understand and will know that I understood if my answer makes sense. And if not, you can clarify. It's fine.
Okay.
It's a little bit like some of these in pairs, you know, because I feel and think which one comes first. Because I have a need and because I have a pattern. Which comes first? Doesn't really matter. The fact that they both get out there is what I find helps. The patterns and characteristics of codependency, in my estimation, are the inefficient tools we used to get our needs and desires met. So if I look only at the pattern, then I'm not paying attention to the reason the pattern showed up in the first place. And if I only look at the feelings, it doesn't tell me what have I been doing that's ineffective. So did that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. Because what I need and, putting the need and the pattern together and how it's not working. And I don't know if the right term, I keep hearing the term right sizing. I'm brand new to this, but, I don't know if that has something to do with it too. Just kind of, putting my, illuminating my part in the communication or in the situation. I don't know if that's a part of it too, I guess.
The term right size took me a while to kind of get comfortable with because it feels a little grammatically weird, but, and I was like, well, how do I know what the right size is? Basically, my take on that is, when I'm in a victim role, it's kind of like, oh, I'm puny, I'm helpless, I'm pathetic, I have no power here. And that's not accurate. Because I can leave. You know? I can disconnect from this or that situation. If I'm in a toxic job, I can get another job. Doesn't mean it's easy. I'm not saying any of this is easy, but I have options. Also, I'm not in charge of the world. You know, if only Karen were running the show, everything would be better. Really? I have a hard time showing up on time to things. I'm not equipped to run the world. So it's like, where do I find myself between them? I'm neither completely powerless over my life, nor am I in charge of everything that happens. So I have to find, again, it's that acceptance, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Got it. Thank you so much, Karen.
And I often find out, like in this communication, like, how do I know what, like, that I was acting in a right size? It's because it works. And if I try something and it doesn't work, that is that's a piece of information that what I tried doesn't work.
It's just by meaning it works or it doesn't work, isn't necessarily tied to me getting what I want, I guess, is like that, but, or like me controlling the situation, but it works if I am finding that balance between, being empowered, but not trying. I don't know if that makes sense either. Yeah. It's just, I think I need to take a break. My brain.
So how do I define it works is, because like the entire goal for me in program is to regain my sanity. And so does the thing I do get me closer to sanity or further from sanity? That's how I know whether it works for me.
That makes sense. Thank you.
We have two more hands right now. We have Elisa.
Okay, great.
Hey, Karen, another quick question. Just heard, thanks so much for your presentation today. And if you could go over that again and just say it, maybe if I only look at my pattern, then it doesn't tell me something. But if I only look at my need, it doesn't tell me. Can you talk through that again and maybe give another example or something it's not sticking for me yet?
I'm happy to try. So I went through my old journal and I found my 12 answers. So I'm going to go ahead and refer to that. I haven't looked at this for months, and maybe it'll help something for me click, and it'll make sense to you too as well. When a fellow trusted servant, anonymous, deviates from the meeting format and script, I feel angry and anxious. I think they are betraying my and our trust and misrepresenting the meeting group. Because I need safety and consistency, and because I feel uncomfortable speaking up in the moment, I silence myself. I would prefer that he ask the group for permission to make those decisions, or to change the format to fit the situation. I want the script to match. I want to be asked. It's a consent thing. However, I accept that I'm powerless over other people's priorities. To protect my serenity, I can pray for guidance, trust the group conscience process, and prepare myself to communicate clearly and calmly. To care for myself, I can practice acceptance and reality check-ins. Higher power, thank you for the tools of recovery and for your always available refuge. I'll seek support from my sponsor and fellows in other meetings, not this one. So the need or desire, and the pattern or the characteristic, they're like counterparts. But it's like I'm trying to use a nuclear warhead to solve a jigsaw puzzle. So if I look at what do I actually need here, what do I want here, and they're not the same thing, then I can, and then I also look at the pattern of the characteristic that I've been using. It's like, well, is that a match? Does that make sense to, do they make sense to each other? And if they don't, which thing do I need to adjust, or maybe both? But it gives me a place to like really start the investigation. Well, why is what I'm doing not getting me sanity, happiness, serenity? Like, why am I still nuts? did that answer the question?
That's awesome. I appreciate that. It helps clarify. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, also, oh my God, may I share a little bit? In the beginning of my CODA recovery, my brain was like coated in Teflon about a lot of things. And I had to hear things over and over and over in different contexts and different people examples and such until I finally had it like, there's a phrase, the penny dropped, like in one of those old mechanical thing, like, ding. Okay, now I get the prize. But sometimes the penny got stuck. And for me, it was just part of the process. And when I learned to not stress about it, it made things easier. Do we have more questions? I think I heard that there was one more hand up.
Yeah, we've got one more, Ari.
Hi, Ari.
Okay, let me start again. I was muted. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Oftentimes when I'm doing these statements or working through things like this where there's a situation where I'm trying to control or get something out of somebody, oftentimes I discover, or sometimes I get, I can ask and people are happy to accommodate it. And then I'm glad that I spoke up, right? I asked for help. I asked for my needs to be met. And that's a victory. But sometimes I inevitably have to come through the realization that this person is not capable, willing, or able to meet that particular need, right? Or what I'm asking for. And then for me, that kind of sets off a period of grief. There's the death of an idea and the death of an expectation. It's like, okay, they're not going to do this, and they may never be able to do this, right? And so I'm wondering how that kind of ties in. Is that something that you've experienced, where it's like I've had to let go of an idea and let it die in order to progress in your recovery?
Definitely. Yeah, thanks for the question. Sometimes I get so attached to the ideas in my mind. Like the idea that, well, any number of ex-romantic partners, that they would be the one, that they would be a certain way, or allow me to be a certain way with them. And then it doesn't work, and they don't do that. And that's hard. And for years, I didn't allow myself really to grieve those things. I just harbored resentment. So as I understand the grief process, it goes through a few stages, and then it gets to acceptance. So if I'm still harboring resentment from 1999, I haven't gotten to acceptance yet. So there's still something I need to work on there. Interesting that my mind went there. I don't know. That's another workshop. But being able to like really process the loss of the thing I thought I would have, or the relationship I thought the way it would be. One very real example for me, I'm a caretaker for my mom. She's 74 and she has terminal lung cancer. And I've been caring for her since 2008 when she had a stroke. So like the mom I had before that day and the mom I've had since that day and then since the diagnosis and then since these different developments, I don't have the same person to turn to for when I need support. So it's like she's still here and I'm grateful. I'm glad to have her in my life and I'm glad to be able to support her. And I'm really glad to have a program to help me maintain my sanity while I do those things. But yeah, it's the loss of, she can't do those things anymore. You know? And it's hard. It's possible, but it's hard for me. Maybe for you it'll be easy. Why not? Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. We have 4 minutes before the next presenter gets to go on. And I really want to take a moment, just a quick moment, to show you some resources. And again, these slides will be available. You can email me. I'll put my email in the chat again. Resources and tools. Literature as a whole, specifically the literature piece is called Attending Meetings, Experiences with Crosstalk, Communication and Recovery, Establishing Boundaries, the 12-Piece Relationship Toolkit, and there are free pamphlets. So all of those things can be either purchased at corepublications.org, and some things are available for free at the coda.org/meeting materials/service materials/ with hyphens and things. Meetings, meetings, and more meetings. How many meetings are you going to? Is that enough? I don't know. How do you know? Keep going. Fellowship after meetings, even online. I find that fellowship is very helpful. Sponsorship and or co-sponsorship. And there is an online chat forum, so it's all text-based at onlinecoda.net. And the worksheet, which I'm providing. And also feel free to email me if you have questions about what I've shared today. With that, I'll close by saying thank you for being here. And I like the serenity prayer, so I'm going to say, higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep going back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it. And with that, I stop screen sharing. Thank you.
To close our meeting, will someone please read the promises?